You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, March 4th show. I'm committed to providing you the knowledge needed to be successful in every area regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive from listening to the show. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-400-1150. That's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And right now I'm having a conversation with Denise Lonis with the Lonis Group. Denise, thank you so much for, having a call with me back in studio. I know you're a little ways away, and I appreciate you taking time to hang out with me for the show today.
Well, I'm always happy to help out and always happy to talk with you.
Wonderful. And a little bit about Denise. Denise is founding partner of the Lonis Group. Denise brings over two decades of experience in the real estate industry with expertise in strategic marketing, business analysis, branding, new home project planning, product development, and agent broker coaching and training. Denise is nationally recognized as the source for all things real estate. Denise's background in residential real estate sales and management includes an impressive list of awards. Denise was recently nominated by MNO News as one of the 100 most influential real estate leaders in the country, and she is a strong and respected voice in the real estate community. So, Denise, I'm really excited to talk with you about what's happening and coming up for 2017. And I'd like to start out with, what are the top issues affecting real estate in the Puget Sound market?
Well, first of all, 2017 is already shaping up to be a really, really fantastic year and a very interesting year. But with all of the good things that happen in real estate, there's always challenges. And the top issues that we're dealing with right now, especially in the Puget Sound region, absolutely have to be affordability. And affordability has become an issue because the Puget Sound region has become such a popular area to live. Our employment is so strong in this area, and what's happened is we've seen so many properties out there that are, because of our lack of inventory, and we're going to talk about why we have such a challenge with inventory, but because of our severe lack of inventory, it has driven the demand. The demand has increased. Inventory has gone down, so affordability has been challenged. And the one negative is that whenever you are in a market like the market that we're in right now, it does put a lot of pressure on first-time home buyers. It puts pressure on seniors. It puts pressure on people that don't have the best credit. So what happens is the cream of the crop buyers get to buy, and those other buyers get bumped out of the marketplace, which is not good for the market long term. Mm-hmm. Definitely sellers love it right now, but for many buyers, we do have some frustrated buyers out there. The other issues that we have that are ones that we have to look at are, we've got something called demographic shifting, and that is where you have older households competing now with younger households in the same market. So, for example, a lot of baby boomers are people born 1946 to 1964, rather than them, selling their houses out in the suburbs and buying another house in the suburb, what they're choosing to do is they're choosing to sell that house and become more of an urbanite, and they are wanting to be down in the city. So we're also seeing a lot of pressure on condos in many different cities and regions. So, this whole demographic where normally you would see people going from a baby boomer, for example, going from their traditional big home to a smaller home, they're not doing that now. Now they want more of that urban lifestyle and that walkability and that livability and that excitement. And so that's we have this demographic shifting. So that's a big issue. The other thing we have is we have a change in global markets. There's a lot of volatility globally, and those change in global markets also put our investors into a little bit of a nervous state, which does affect what happens locally. And especially in our region, in the Puget Sound region, we are we have investors that come from all over the world that love the Pacific Northwest. So that we have to watch for volatility in the global markets. The other thing that we have is we have a couple things, just the big unknowns, and that is our issues around energy. The unknown regulation makes the cost of energy unpredictable, and unknowns in any real estate marketplace make people a little bit nervous. Also, unknowns such as trade agreements?
Yeah.
What about relations with Mexico? What about the new president? What about, and you have a lot of these what abouts, and that makes people really nervous.
Yeah, and you know, you've with the new president, I just actually mentioned in Money Chat today the great news that we've, you know, we got the information that the mortgage interest deduction in Trump tax plan was not, I mean, we're going to be able to keep that. So, I mean, that's a biggie. And a little bit off topic here, Denise, but there's been a lot of conversation around that and the interest deduction possibly going away. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think I'm not concerned about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think that would be one of the silliest things to happen. I cannot imagine that happening. And I do a lot of, I do a lot of research, a lot of studying on all of these topics. I follow these issues very carefully. And you would have every investor, every homeowner, every business, you would have so much opposition to that
yes.
I think it's a good discussion point. And I think it's like anything. There's a lot of things that may be proposed, but that's one that I do not see happening.
Yeah.
And especially not with this administration, especially in light of the fact that that there's just too much that has to be done. And what I'm seeing anyways is that's, if it's on the list, it's on a very, very long list.
Yes.
And I can't imagine it even getting looked at for 4 years, let alone anything happening with it. The opposition to that would be monumental. So
yes.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Great news. So let's talk about home prices. And I mean, they've increased significantly. What kind of increases are we seeing right now and for the year? And what would be the causes for this?
Well, first of all, the reason that house prices have gone up so substantially, we have to really look at the fact that any real estate market is driven by supply and demand.
Uh-huh.
Demand is driven because people love to come to our region, and we have employment, and we've got all these employment hubs and all these wonderful things that this area has. But at the root of all this, this actually started years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenges started years ago. I've been talking about this since 2004, when I started to talk about and see what was happening with inventory and inventory issues down in Las Vegas. That's where I first saw huge shifts in inventory and huge price climbs in actually 1998, 1999, 2000, and then huge tumbles in early 2000s. The reality is we have a inventory challenge because we, as a country, have not built the amount of new homes that we need to build. We need to have consistently 1.5 million units per year nationally of new home starts. We have not had those.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have the housing starts, you can only get your inventory from a few places. You can get inventory from people reselling. That's what we have right now. You can get inventory from new construction. You can get inventory from foreclosures. Well, foreclosures are always down in a rapidly inclining house price market. So we're not getting them from foreclosures. We're not getting them from new construction. So now we have this resale issue. The other problem you have, and this is the big issue that we're going to deal with in the next couple of years, when house prices start to go up in value like they have, and also if interest rates rise,
mm-hmm.
the challenge then becomes the person owning the house says, should I just stay here and renovate? Because why would I want to sell and give up my good money that I have?
Why would you
want to
give up a 3.75%, 3.5% interest rate for a 5-6% rate?
Absolutely. So the thing that we have is that our housing starts were definitely pretty much decimated back in, if we go back to 2006, and 2006 nationally we had approximately 2,200,000 starts.
Mm-hmm.
We went down as low as a little over 400,000 starts in 2009, meaning that we were 1,100,000 short then.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010 we were at 500,000, so we're another million short. 2011, we were just over 600,000, 900,000 short. If I go back from 2009 to 2015, every single year we were short. 2016, we didn't quite make the 1.5 million,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting there. And my prediction for 2017 is we will get there. But the reality is that we are millions, probably 5.5 million units short. And if we're just building at the rate of 1.5 million units, we're not building above that to catch up for it. So why the house prices are going up so crazy right now is simply because of our It started back in 2006. That's when it started, when our new home start started to decline. So that's, you know, we have this huge inventory challenge, and that's not going to go away anytime quick because we're not building homes anytime quick. Now, you asked a question about house prices.
Yeah.
And if we go back to October of 2016, the national, and I'll talk national, then I'll talk local.
Okay.
The national median home price for existing family homes was increased 6% since the previous year. In the Seattle marketplace, and then we can talk the Puget Sound region, in some areas, prices were up 30%,
yeah,
25%, 20%. So you look at, you know, we can no longer look at the Seattle area, the Bellevue area, Marysville, Tacoma. When you look at even if we, I've been looking at the three different counties. When I look at King County, Pierce County, so King County, if we go, okay, how did King County, you know, how did it increase in this 1 year period? Let's say from through all of 2016. If we look at the numbers, you might see averages of 8%, 9%, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting though is that even Pierce County was as high as King County and Snohomish County, which never happens.
Which
means that it's rarely. Obviously, King County is normally going to lead in the increase, but mm-hmm. when you see you have consistent price increases in these three counties, it's showing you that there's a spillover effect, that King County is so robust and the prices are going up so rapidly in that area.
Yeah.
That what happens is people have to move outward in order to make it work.
On that, Denise, I'm going to take us to break, and I want to come back to that, and
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about Pierce County. So coming up next on the
yes.
Money Hour, continued conversation with Denise Lonis with the Lonis Group. Facts and insights on the topic of what's happening in 2017. What are the hot topics in real estate? Right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, March 4th show. I provide you news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. To call into the show, you can call 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio for the entire show, I have Denise Lonis with the Lonis Group. And we were just talking about before I took it to commercial break about what's happening with the home price increases. And we're talking about King County and Pierce County, and usually Pierce just lagging a lot behind King. And so Denise, talk to us a little bit about what's happening in Pierce County and why, I mean, it's getting so close and the demand of what we're seeing in King County. So what's changing?
Well, Pierce County is changing for a lot of reasons. And we have to look at, so for example, there's a lot going on in Pierce County that I don't think people are necessarily following or tracking, and they really should, because mm-hmm. there's a lot going down there, a lot going on there in terms of when you look at what's happened with the Port Alliance. So you've got the Port Alliance. With the Port Alliance comes also this long-term, long-range plan of infrastructure and improvement to roads. You also have got this spillover effect, and the bottom line is real estate is so much more affordable in Pierce County, and people mm-hmm. are, they've been forced to go down there because of the price issues, and then they get down there and they go, this is pretty nice. We
yeah.
like it down here. And what's happening is you're noticing there's been a lot of investors going into these areas, and mm-hmm. what happens is investors come in, they bring money, they build buildings, they're buying commercial space, they're mm-hmm. improving commercial space, they're renting commercial space, they are creating little communities and areas that people want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Also the transit issue. I always tell people when it comes to real estate investing, follow transit lines, follow mass transit lines, follow mm-hmm. new roads, follow improvement to roads. That's where you're going to see a lot of increase. And
yeah.
this past year, I took a group of 40 agents, and I went down to Tacoma, and I took them on an investor's tour, and I took them on that tour to show them the opportunities that were basically out there in the Tacoma area, the
uh-huh.
Puyallup area, you know, Pierce County, and I was really, they were really shocked when we've now gone back and we've said, okay, from that point to this point, how much did those properties appreciate? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that the prices in Pierce County are going up at record rates as well. And that's, again, because of that that demand.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're seeing is that we're seeing a lot of, Seattle is becoming the San Francisco of the North, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're definitely, our demand is super, super high. So Tacoma, for example, Puyallup, those areas are really just the next best choices for people. So I have been talking about Tacoma specifically for about 5 years, and people thought I was crazy. but Tacoma has had phenomenal growth, and those are just some of the reasons why it's been just really phenomenal.
Well, I know you coach some of the best agents in our market, and I know quite a few that are over on the east side in the Bellevue market. And are you coaching and seeing them actually? Because the idea of an east side agent really promoting and working and selling properties over like in the Tacoma area, that really is just, you don't see that happen. Are you seeing now that some of them are really going to be exploring that option for their clients that just can't afford in the Bellevue area? Are you seeing that happening now?
I always tell my clients that, as an agent, you have to be very careful where you are, where you sell, because the reality is you really need to be an expert in that area. But what I'm seeing is, I am seeing this shift of expertise where people are saying, okay, I used to be an expert here, I really need to be an expert there. I'm seeing some agents that have moved offices and moved to other locations because there has been a frustration with the high prices. The other thing we have to look at is, we have to look at what's happening on the east side, and we have to look at, it's the spillover effect. If you look at Bellevue and then you see what's happening going up to the Snoqualmie Pass, and you see what's happening with North Bend and North Bend's prices. North Bend used to be, wow, that's so far away.
Yeah.
Now North Bend is a really good choice for people that work in Bellevue. They don't mind the commute. And that's what we're starting to see, is we're starting to see this incredible spillover effect because house prices have gone up so dramatically.
Yeah, and Denise, I just, for one of my Power Hour Lunch and Learns for my real estate professionals, I brought in a builder panel, and it was so interesting to hear some of the things that behind the scenes that are happening with builders and the requirements that they have to actually build. And of course, the Growth Management Act came up, when we're dealing with the housing inventory reaching record highs, and what's going to solve this, and what do you have to comment in regards to the Growth Management Act and, really the ability to have more land to build. Any insight there, Denise?
Well, I have some strong feelings on this because as a developer myself, I know what it feels like to buy a piece of land, you want to create something, and then you come across one issue after the other, whether it's planning, whether it's public works, whether there's just all these, whether it's wetlands, whether it is stormwater issues. So what has happened? And part of the challenge that our builders are having and why we have this inventory issue is there have been some federal laws that have come down regarding things like water and wildlife and birds and all those sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is it makes it more and more difficult for builders to be able to buy a piece of land and use all that piece of land. So it's like, for example, if you buy a piece of land and you're anticipation is that as a builder, you're going to be able to build 10 homes on that.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 lots per this piece of land. By the time you get finished with all of the restrictions, you may be able to build 7 homes instead of 10.
Yeah.
Well, that is now just taken away 30% of your profit margin.
Oh.
So what's happening is we're finding that new construction is getting more expensive. We're finding that it is harder to build right now. We're finding that the land problem with suitable land to build in specific areas. So what we're also seeing is we're finding now that builders are going out as well to build in areas where the restrictions may not be as stringent. So that, again, is what further hampers our inventory issues. And I tell people, I tell them in my classes, I tell them when I'm speaking about this issue, I say it's very, very important that you are present. And, if you're going to be an agent and you want to specialize in this, or if you're a homeowner that has land and you need to know what you can do with this land, it's really important that you get down to the planning office and you understand how things affect your land. And when you get notices that say there's a meeting about this upcoming issue, if you don't show up, you can't vote on or be a part of what happens. So the restrictions are really hampering what people can build right now.
Well, another surprise I mentioned, Seattle mayor is talking about implementing in Seattle proper of tax, over and above what you pay for the property, you're going to get taxed for living in. I mean, there's just some craziness going on.
But, well, the other thing is that, and this is just a personal feeling, and I don't want to in any way get too personal on this call, but I do have a personal issue with, some of the things that are happening right now in the Seattle area with, some things like whether that is rent control, whether that is, because again, that affects investors and it gets people worried. So, and of course, there has to be a balance, but what happens oftentimes is that things sway too much to the right or too much to the left, and we forget about that middle point, the balance where everybody can win and there is a balance point. What's happening right now is there's so many changes, especially in the Seattle area. What it's also doing is it's making investors a little bit nervous. That's why Tacoma has blown up with investors and why investors love Tacoma, because they don't have the Tacoma mayor that is talking about the same kinds of things that are happening in Seattle. And as investors are looking at those kinds of things, and those things do affect what happens in our real estate market.
And if you're investing, it doesn't matter if you're investing in Tacoma, Seattle. I mean, you're not living in the property. So, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter the same, with the commute and all the issues that you're dealing with as your personal primary residence. Yeah, interesting. And we could have probably a whole show and just things that are potentially happening in Seattle. So, Denise, we're still seeing a lot of buyers being attracted from, out of the area into our area, and a lot of the cash buyers. And are you seeing that going to be continuing at the level that it has been?
Well, there's a number of things going on. So let's talk about a couple of them. First of all, we have, it was definitely more in the news 6 months ago, a year ago, the water concerns in California. And we saw a surge of California buyers last year that came in because, first of all, they can buy some phenomenal properties here at great prices compared to what they're paying right now in many parts of California. There, we don't have the water issue, so that's a huge thing. The other thing that we have here is we have foreign buyers that love us. So, and I'll tell you, we are a coastline community, right? So we're on the coast, and Seattle has been a very big draw for Asian buyers. Asian buyers love Seattle. They love San Francisco. They love Los Angeles. They love the coastline. And we're a part of that. The thing that we have going for us, believe it or not, is our weather. We don't have to worry about the water issue like they do in California. The other thing that we have here is we've got these incredible employment hubs: aerospace, technology, medical, bioresearch. We've got Boeing, we've got Microsoft, we've got the University of Washington, we've got Amazon, we've got all these job bases. And now with the new Northwest Seaport Port Alliance, that is going to be a huge draw because it allows us, and I know a lot of people have asked me, a lot of people said to me, is that Seaport Alliance deal such a big deal? It isn't right at this moment. It will be, because it brings in federal dollars to improve our highways. It brings in federal dollars to improve the port. It allows us to bring ships in that are larger that we couldn't bring in before. All those things positively affect our market and our region. So Washington is going to continue to be on that top three list for investors and for buyers that are thinking about where can they relocate to where they can. Now, if we continue for the next 2 or 3 years to have price increases like we've had, then that's going to slow that demand down.
So, Denise, before I take us to commercial, we've got a couple minutes here. Can you explain how new construction has contributed to the inventory shortage?
Yes. The challenge we have with new construction right now is that in any market, we absolutely desperately need new construction. We need resale, and we even need those foreclosures that come in. And it's normal in any healthy market that there will always be some foreclosures, and we are seeing those, and we get those. It is normal to have the resale inventory. We have those. What we don't have right now is any new home starts, and we don't have new home starts because, number one, we lost a lot of our great builders back when we had our market correction.
Yeah.
We also don't have, the trades are down, meaning that even right now, if you're renovating, try to get somebody in to do work for you. It's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough builders that can build on buildable land because we have too many restrictions. We have too many challenges, and therefore it's taking longer and it's costing more money. So therefore you have less people that are willing to get in the game. And that's the big challenge we're seeing in the market right now with new construction and inventory.
We're going to continue our conversation with Denise. We're going to be talking about still what's happening in Washington State with our real estate. We're going to talk about rent, what's happening with rents. And it'll be coming up next on the Money Hour. Continued conversation with Denise Lonis right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, March 4th show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding your money. And in studio, a conversation for the entire show with Denise Lonis with the Lonis Group. And Denise, I wanted to kind of get into a little bit about what's happening with our rents and our rents in the area being affected by the shortage of inventory.
Okay, this is where we are finding a really huge problem. And that is that, so first of all, when you look at the real estate market, if you're in a market where house prices are inclining very rapidly, what happens is you get a lot of buyers that get into the marketplace and they're competing to win within a multiple offer situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one person that's going to win that offer. And what ends up happening is for those people that lose on that first offer and maybe the second offer, and then they try again a third time, eventually they get, I call it market exhaustion. And market exhaustion is where you just, as a buyer, you just can't be in the game anymore, and you say, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then is you go and you try to find a place to rent. Well, what happens is as house prices go up in value, what you're also doing is you are damaging your first-time home buyer market. I can tell you right now that if you were to go into the Seattle marketplace, for example, it's going to be very hard for a first-time home buyer to be able to buy an affordable home in Seattle right now. And Seattle's just one example. There are other areas. But what happens is when that first-time home buyer gets priced out of the market, what happens now is they have no choice. They have two choices, actually. They can either move farther out, but if their commute is too far, that then becomes a non-option. And then what happens is they go back into the rental market. So we have a number of things happen. So first, we have these buyers that are market exhausted. They're going to go back and say, I'm done, and I'm going to be a renter now.
Mm-hmm.
We also have that next group that is simply priced out of the market, and they are going to become renters.
Mm-hmm.
We then have something called household formation. And the household formation renters are the individuals that, when the market was bad, they decided to possibly go and live back home with their parents. Or perhaps the market was bad, and they decided, there were some people that were living with their adult parents, and their adult parents were in their 70s and 80s, and they were in their 50s and 60s, but they were living at home with mom and dad in their paid-off homes because they could not afford something. So what's happened now is now they've become renters. The next group we have is we have those credit-damaged people, and that is people that went through this terrible market correction we had. Their credit was decimated, and it's not that they maybe can't buy, it's that they're so afraid that they're not even going to be approved. They don't even try. So we have this huge demand for the rental market. Our rental prices have gone up, and all the way from the Canadian border all the way down to the Oregon border. We are the whole state of Washington. If we take the I-5 corridor specifically and some parts of eastern Washington, if you look at how the rents have gone up in the Tri-Cities area, rents have gone up just, you know, an incredible amount. If you look at at Whatcom County, if you look at Skagit County, Snohomish County, King County, Pierce County, I mean, it is across the board we're seeing these rental increases. So it is not something that is an isolated incident. This is what has happened. The other thing that we're seeing is as we see these rents increase, mm-hmm. what we're seeing is we're seeing people that are getting really frustrated in the marketplace because they can't buy, they go to rent, the rent is so high. And what's also happening is now you have this competition for rentals.
Yes.
And that's why we're dealing with the issue that we're dealing with in some areas like Seattle, where they're saying, you know, look, we're going to have to put some control around this because it's almost impossible now for people to find housing. So those are the, you know, the kind of issues you have when you have a market like we have right now. But rents are, you know, rents are, in my opinion, increasing at an unhealthy rate because it's not, we can't sustain these prices long term.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm negative. It's the reality.
Sure.
You cannot, I know in my own marketplace, for example, something that I would have rented for $1,400 a month, I could now easily rent for $2,400 a month. And I've chosen not to do those increases. Mm-hmm. And then what that does, though, is what do you think that does to any renter I might have? It makes them a lifer. They're never
yes.
going to leave that house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
So, and that means, again, that inventory is not going to come back on the market.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, and that could be a whole nother show, Justin. I mean, the challenge, there are opportunities in, you know, getting in the investment market and, you know, being able to ride this out. Do you feel that it's going to cap and there's a point that rents can't go up anymore, or are we going to continue to see this craziness?
I think that we've reached a point already where what happens is there comes a point where people just won't play the game anymore, and
uh-huh.
they will find other alternative housing choices. Like they might decide, look, we can't rent a house on our own. You know, mm-hmm. we'd love to have a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath house on our own. We can't. So what we'll do is we'll rent that home, but we'll bring in a renter, maybe a student, someone
sure.
to rent a room. And they're getting more creative.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of subleasing going on
mm-hmm.
Right now in our marketplace. A lot of unapproved subleasing that's going on because they don't want to tell the landlord because
yes.
the landlord, you know, in their lease, it says that you can't sublease. So
yep.
I'm seeing a lot of that.
Hmm.
And I'm getting a lot of emails regarding this whole issue around subleasing. So that's another issue that happens when it just becomes unaffordable to live in a particular area.
Yeah. So, Denise, I want to ask you two questions, one at a time. I want to ask you, you know, what are your concerns in the market? And then I want to ask you what you're excited about for our market. So let's start with your concerns. What are,
okay,
yeah,
well,
outside
my,
of what we've already
concern,
talked about, what is your, yeah, what's your number one?
My number one concern has to do, well, I will say number one has to do with our rising interest rates.
Yes.
I don't want the interest rates
okay.
to rise, and I'm hopeful that they're not going to. I don't see that as an issue. But if the interest rates were to rise too much, that creates a whole other problem.
That goes back to the concern that you have. Nobody's going to want to sell their property because they're at that low interest rate. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. We need the interest rates to stay where they're at right
uh-huh.
now so that we can continue to have, you know, we can continue to have inventory that comes on the market.
Okay.
The other issue I have is more of a bigger concern that I think most of us have, and that is the concern over the reality that we have too much debt as a country, as a state,
mm-hmm.
our national debt, our state debt. We have a lot of it. So, and there's a great website. I look at this website frequently, and it's usdebtclock.org. And you just go in and see our debt and where we're at. And we are almost at $20 trillion worth of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of concerns that we do need to, you know, think about. Like, you know, how... Because what happens is when the debt gets too high like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you then, my question then becomes, how is that debt going to get paid down? And at some point, it has to be. It definitely has to be. Now, the things that I'm really excited about, I am so excited about a lot of the, I call it the urban retreats that are being created. Like, for example, many different parts of Seattle have become urban retreats. They're creating urban retreats in Tacoma. And an urban retreat is, I would define that as areas where people can live, where people can work, where people can entertain, where there's, you know, things for them to do. So urban retreats are being revitalized. I mean, if you look at, for example, if you go to New York and you look at New York has been so rich and full of many different urban retreats, and that's the lifestyle over there on the East Coast that they have lived and enjoyed for years. And that's almost like a little bit of the East Coast is coming to the West Side. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what Amazon is doing. I am excited about, you know, this strong base that we have here with Boeing and with Microsoft and with Amazon and, you know, with all these great jobs that we have, where we have become a state, a strong technology state. We've become a strong employment state. And I'm really excited that, you know, Washington has, I'm very excited that, you know, from a standpoint for those people that want to live in a urban location and work in that location, that we're now looking at housing opportunities and choices in some of these downtown cores of this creative type of housing. So I think that there's a lot of opportunities here. I know that this area is strong. I don't have any doubt. A lot of people said to me, oh, is the market going to crash? I do not believe that whatsoever, because in order for a market to crash, there has to be a reason for that. And it's not like we are, you know, in Detroit and we, you know, and car manufacturing is our big employment, an employer here. We've got so many diverse employers and so many different, you know, diverse industries that we're very protected from that. So I actually think that 2017 is going to be a very good year. I think it's going to be challenging still for buyers, because they're going to have
There's always challenges and, you know, opportunities, right?
And opportunities, absolutely.
So Denise, if you were talking to one of my buyer listeners right now, what would you be cautioning them about, or what should they be doing before they buy?
Well, first of all, if you're going to buy right now in this marketplace, you don't give up. It's a process, okay? Yeah. You have to get, so you have to, number one, you've got to be, I would say you got to be with the right lender, because when you go to, when your offer is presented, a good agent that is correctly representing their seller, if I'm representing my seller and I'm looking at these offers, it's one thing for someone to offer, they can offer me whatever they want on paper. The reality is that offer going to close? I want to know where the money is coming from. I want to know if this person can afford to buy this house. I want to know, you know, I want to know as much about this buyer as possible. Having the right lender and a lender that gets transactions closed is critical, number one. The second thing you have to do is you have to have a real estate agent that understands and knows how to present offers in a multiple offer marketplace, because you have to be competitive, you have to be on time, your offer has to be creative. I also tell buyers right now, offer things other than just money. Offer things, offer people flexible closing dates, and offer them something that isn't not necessarily money-based, but might get them excited. And with all of my buyers, when I was in a competitive multiple offer market, I would have some standard things in my offer. One of those would be, you know, the buyer will have the house clean. The seller doesn't have to worry about it. Seller can leave all their garbage in the garage or in a room or wherever. Buyer will discard of it. Anything that they could do to make it easy for that seller to sell and walk away from the home. Every little advantage. But absolutely having the right pros in your corner, the right lender, right agent is critical.
So that's for the buyers. What about for my sellers, that the, what they need to know about selling in this active market now?
Okay, the seller, what sellers have to understand right now is they need to stop getting themselves so concerned over price. And what's happening, what is happening right now, which I don't, you know, I tell sellers, don't do this. Don't just invite a real estate agent to come over and hire the one that gives you the highest price. That's not what you're looking for in an agent. So sellers need to find, you know, and work with agents that do really good and widespread marketing, because the more people and the more eyes you can get on the home, the more opportunity you have to get more buyers in. The more buyers, the more chance for multiple offers, the more multiple offers, then it becomes a bidding war, and a bidding war is what you want. Also, don't just take an offer because it has the highest price tag on it. You have to make sure that your agent really works with you to show you the pros and cons of each offer, because not all offers are the same. And just make sure that when you're selling your house that you focus less on, you know, the actual price, because the market will demand the price. I could put a house on the market right now in Seattle and say, okay, I want $100 for that house. the market's not going to pay $100. You're going to have a bidding war, and the bidding war is going to get that house where the market is willing to pay for it. The key, though, is you want as much exposure as possible. So I've had a lot of sellers say to me, oh, why don't I just list my house on my own?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Because you do not, if you list your house on your own, what you've given up is you've given up that network of thousands of agents that have thousands of buyers that can see your house. And by giving that up, you are giving up, could be tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I tell buyers, I tell sellers, do not be fooled by the, oh, I'm going to save some commission, because if that's not a reality in this kind of market.
Well, you know what was interesting that you brought that up, because in doing mortgages, I get contracts over my desk all the time. And I've, you know, back before when the market was doing well before the crash, I had a lot of purchase and sale agreements that were coming over for sale by owner. Denise, I can't remember the last time that I've had a contract come over for sale by owner. So I don't know what the shift is that, you know, in this market where it's so hot, just like it was in the last market before the last crash, but they're really, they're hiring the agent experts and not trying to do for sale by owner.
Which is smart, which is really smart. I mean, if I have people that will ask me all the time, hey, Denise, you know, I'm thinking about maybe, you know, selling my house. And the reality is I've got people knocking on my door. Well, let me tell you something, sellers. If you have people knocking on your doors because they want your listing, let me tell you, don't just answer that door knock and accept that offer. Yeah. That means that you've got a hot property, a hot commodity, and you need to get that out and get that property exposed so you can get top dollar.
Yes.
The top dollar that you deserve. It's your investment. It's, you know, this is an important decision you're making. Do not, you know, think for one second that you can do it better than the network out there, because you just can't.
Yes. So, Denise, I've got a minute to wrap up the show. And what would you like to say to my listeners? What's your call to action? What's your ending here?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you are thinking about investing, I will tell you right now that the Puget Sound region is a fantastic place to invest in. We have a very strong base here. That base is going to continue. Our foundation is very, very strong. So I tell investors, look no further. This is the place to invest. For buyers and sellers, I tell sellers all the time that, you know, if you're in a situation right now, this moment in time, if you're thinking that you want to make a move, because interest rates haven't gone up right now, get your house and put it on the market, because my goodness, you can get top dollar for it. And then you can still get this great interest rate right now. I mean, for sellers that are hesitating, I want to kind of kick them off the ledge and into the pool, because it's such a great time to sell right now. It is a phenomenal time to sell. For buyers, there are fantastic properties out there. And the reason the properties have gone up in price is because the demand is there and we're in a good area, and that's going to continue. And I just tell my buyers, remember, you're buying now at this low, low interest rate. So we are still right now at a historic moment in real estate where people can buy and they can sell and still make fantastic real estate purchases. So my call to action is get on the phone and call the real estate agent that you know and trust, and take action in the market.
There you go. So you heard it from Denise. Sellers, sell your home. Buyers, get out there and buy a home. Denise, it's such a privilege to have you speak with my listeners. And I just want to thank you again very much for your time today.
Absolutely.
And this is your host and mortgage expert signing off, Tina Mitchell. I'll be here next Saturday, same place, same time, right here at 11:50 a.m. KKNW. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.